If you have your Bibles, would you turn to 1 John chapter 3? Beginning at verse 10. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. This is, I'm sure you'll agree, a very challenging passage which the Apostle John wrote all those years ago, and he begins with a very kind of sharp distinction. There are two types of children in the world: the children of God and the children of the devil. And he says they are manifest. In other words, you can tell them apart. This is how you tell them apart. Some of them are practicing righteousness and some are not. Those who are of God are righteous and want to be righteous. They don't, as we can all testify, always get it right, but the desire is there. And those who do not, they are not of God. Furthermore, those who are of God, who are children of God, love their fellow believers. The unbeliever does not. And there is clearly a link here between practicing righteousness and having a love for other people. You cannot be righteous if you do not love other people. That is what John is saying. Furthermore, he says this is no new doctrine. It's not a novelty. It's not a new light or fresh revelation. You've heard it from the beginning that we should love one another. If God is love, and for God so loved the world, then if we are transformed into his likeness, we are his children, then we ought to take on that wonderful characteristic of love for other people, difficult and hard though it may be. He then gives us an illustration from the Old Testament, a famous one, of two brothers. Notice that in verse 10 he uses the word brother. Well, here we have two blood brothers, Cain and Abel. And Cain was of the wicked one. So clearly, he's a child of the devil. He murders his brother. Why does he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. He then goes on to talk about why the world will hate you. And evidently, John is suggesting here that Abel was killed because he was righteous and he was standing for God. And Cain was not. And evil will always hate righteousness, and vice versa. He says, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. I think rather we should marvel if the world loves us and thinks we're wonderful. That is more surprising, in fact, if ever that happens. And perhaps from time to time in history it has happened. There have been a few periods in Britain when the powerful people believed the gospel. But that wasn't most of the time. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. And if we stand for righteousness, if we stand for Christ, then the world, which is in abject opposition to him, and all that is good, will also hate us. If they hated the master, they'll hate the servant. He goes on to say, we know that we have passed from death to life. And of course, you could argue we will one day pass from death to life. But John says, in this respect, it has already happened. We have passed over from death to life. And we know because we love the brethren. In other words, our love for each other, our love for the people of God, our love for those of the households of faith in particular, is actual evidence that there has been a work of grace in our hearts. For a start, these people are our brethren. They are of and in the family of God. And John says, he who does not love his brother abides in death. So those of us who love the brethren, we have passed over from death to life. But those who do not love their brothers, in fact, they are still abiding in death. Now, John is clearly, thinks this is a very important point. And he seems to argue, look, it is a salvation issue. Of course, we're not saved by being loving. We're saved by what Christ did. But if we are saved, we will be loving. And the idea that, well, yes, I'm saved, but I do not like my fellow believers, I'm afraid there is no room for that argument in John's way of thinking. I was speaking to somebody recently about how they believe, but they don't believe in going to church. And this is why. Because everybody who goes to church is a hypocrite. And he doesn't like hypocrites, and therefore he doesn't go. And I suggested that we go to church so that we can show love and bless other people. If you simply go to church or attend fellowship because you want to be blessed all the time, and because you want to see how wonderfully virtuous every other member of the Christian community is all the time, you will indeed be disappointed. But if you go saying, I'm going to church because there are people there whom I can bless. There are people there to whom I can show love. There are people there to whom I can share the grace of God. Then John, I think, would say that is because you have passed over from death to life. And I do wonder, I used to believe, in a way I still do, I used to believe that, you know, you don't need to go to church to be a Christian. You don't. And yet, if you really have had a working of grace in the heart, you will want to spend time with your redeemed people. You will want to be with your Christian family. He says, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Oh, John, surely you don't mean that. Well, he does. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now, let's imagine. In fact, we don't need to, because one is coming. But imagine if somebody has actually murdered or killed another human being. Could God forgive them? Yes. Because Christ paid the penalty for murderers. The price he paid on Calvary covers the foulest deeds that any foul human can do. And yet John indicates here that if there is one who harbours a hatred for a brother, presumably this is a fellow believer, then actually it's evidence that there is no eternal life dwelling in him. Mm. Notice that here, John is not offering a theology test to his reader, nor to the church to which he's writing. It's not what people say, it's what people do. John is judging these people by their actions, not by their words. And of course, one of the reasons we meet together on a Wednesday is that we can pray for people. And clearly one of the most loving things we can do is to draw our Heavenly Father's attention to people who are on our hearts, people who have crossed our path, because we can be certain if they are dear to us, they're even more dear to him. Amen.